candidly, Jarvis, like, saved my life. Emotionally and literally saved my life.
You aren't really sad.
That is one thing I will categorically deny. I am unfortunately very sad, and it is has a large impact on my life.
So I remember thinking, wow, I'm so jealous. I need to make sure I don't make it envy.
And now people know how long my night erections last.
What do you have, stats?
Hi, everyone. My name is Damien Haas. You may know me from the YouTube channel Smosh, or voice acting roles in things like Delicious in Dungeon or Fortnite. But today I'm joined by Jarvis Johnson and Jordan Adika of the very iconic podcast Sad Boys. Welcome on in, folks. Would you like to introduce yourselves, whether you're sad or not?
Yes. Well, that was... Thank you so much for that introduction.
Yeah.
First of all, we're iconic.
I'm still digesting that, but I'm Jarvis from...
It's written here, I have to.
Oh, okay. You guys gotta say
it. You meant it?
Yeah, and production, your check is in the mail. Thanks for putting that in the script. Yeah, I'm Jarvis.
I'm Jordan.
Yeah.
I guess you did that.
We do a little podcast.
We have a show. It's called Sad Boys with a Z. Please don't mess it up. It hurts. An angel loses its wings every time somebody uses the S, or they go on Instagram and they misspell it.
And an alpha male gains his wings and ascends to heaven. And this is a fun fact. If you search Sad Boys with a Z on Instagram, they say, if you need help, help is out there. And then it refuses to show the results. And you would think that when you add the Z, it doesn't seem like a cry for help, but... Instagram disagrees.
Let's get into some assumptions that people may have about you and give them a little discussion. First things first, one assumption that people may have about you: you aren't really sad.
That is one thing I will categorically deny. I am unfortunately very sad, and it is has a large impact on my life. Like, I would say that if it weren't for like anxiety depression, I would be so much more productive and just a good little worker in our like capitalist landscape. Sorry, I think they... They got to me. Definitely, unfortunately, affirmatively sad. But hey, that's good because we're all in this journey together. I'm sure everybody has their own, you know, somewhere on this like spectrum and journey of mental health. I think that it's been very therapeutic to be able to discuss that on the show. At various times, it's become too much like therapy. And then like when you're like going to therapy once a week and then you have to like bear your feelings. Yeah. We definitely like had to find a balance with the show where it didn't feel like emotionally exhausting to actually like get into it. Mm. And I think now we've like found a good balance. But
I think the muscle has been stretched enough now where doing however many hours of recording we're going to do, you know, on a particular day is not itself strenuous now. Like, we can just sit and do the show. So now it's the question on how much energy we have is, okay, how much can we go at full speed, mm-hmm. which is opening up about dark things and challenging ourselves, and then how much can we pull back and just be like, you seen this f***ing Jubilee video? Yeah.
Sometimes the Jubilee video is the escape from the sadness. Yeah. Are you sad, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, pretty severely in a lot of the same ways, but it's difficult for me to divorce some of that from Sad Boys listeners, real homies know that my damn mother passed away. Am I right, boys?
I'm sorry either.
But it was so I am on an upward trajectory in terms of that. And so when people say like, oh, you don't really seem like you're sad, it's relative, but it is also like, you know, anytime we're publishing something, it's the best mood that I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out of the house, we're chatting, we're doing
also,
something.
I feel like we as a society are constantly surprised by people we thought were happy based on the times that we saw them being happy. And then we're like, oh, I had no idea they were sad.
It's the checking in on your
and
funny
it's like,
friends.
Yeah, because like there's a whole 24 hours in the day.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of time to be sad away from the public eye.
100%. And if you are at a party and someone's like, how's it going? And you're like, actually not so good. And you launch into it, people act like you're insane. And I'm like,
right.
You asked. And so it's very normalized to be smiling.
Oh, I'm actually so good. And then the other three like NPC dialogue choices I've chosen to make it seem like I'm happy right now.
When someone else is like, how you been? I'm like, good, busy, a little tired. That's the thing we all say, right? It's always the answer, but that's true right now.
Wow, that was amazing. That's like the, when you, someone says like, all I know in English is this phrase describing how I don't know English.
Exactly. How are you doing? Where's the library?
Next assumption from our audience: there's actually a lot of pressure being seen as completely unproblematic creators.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, I have a very visceral reaction to that. And I think it's because anytime that there's like very generous interpretations of me. I could use Sith lightning. But it would be so easy.
Yeah, it makes you want to execute Order 66.
I could just pretend that's true and have some, I am very kind and I'm never self-interested and I am a perfect representation of masculinity and it's appealing because it's a shortcut to self-esteem, right?
Sure.
But that is not real or true or healthy and will have a negative impact on the people around you and it'll block you from growing.
It's just healthier to acknowledge the fallibility of man rather than to like...
And I've always said that. No,
okay. Yeah, right. It's just like, I think it could just be dangerous and you know, very parasocial at its where that's coming from is like this is my comfort thing and you become less of a person and more of like a thing that's not to be, I hope nothing messes up my special thing. And it's why I just kind of try to reject that like parasocial kind of thing from the outset.
By being emotionally honest, lads, your DMs must be thirsty as hell.
If anything, I feel like the messages that we do get that I think are getting a message of someone praising our presentation of gender, in the case of masculinity, or even just like ideology, political leanings, things that we'll say, emotional openness and the like. And that is one of the few times where I'll catch myself replying and saying, well, hey, we have an edited, structured format. We have a press release that we put out every Friday, essentially, with what the most catered and tactical version of ourselves that we're releasing, because these are the people we want to be. But what we're cutting out is the reactionary part of ourselves, the most base instinct part of ourselves. And those are the parts of yourself that you might indulge in when you're maybe not at your best. And if someone's going to say, like, I really like the way you present masculinity, I always want to stop and say, no, I am absolutely overflowing with toxic masculine instincts. Base of, I am at all times watching the way I stand in case someone thinks I'm gay. It is like completely irrational.
It's like we live in a society.
The first thing that happens is bad and then I correct. It's not that I am at my core good about it.
And I think we just try to overly communicate that we are just like people and we're trying. And I think that that's the best that we can do. And I try to hazard people to like, I think with creators, this is just like a natural thing that people do. So I can't fault them for it, but just trying to remind people not to like elevate us any more than we would another person.
That's the thirst. I don't mean to brag.
And that's the thirst.
We've been getting quite a few messages on X, the Everything app. Apparently, there's local singles in my area that have a Bitly link I can follow.
Yeah, great.
With like so many digits.
I got 100 DMs this week about starting a meme coin, so I'm looking into that.
You, Jarvis, try to do Jordan's accent when he's not around.
I can't do Jordan's accent. I can do a number of different British accents, and I can't land on the one that he has because it's like this weird fusion.
Yeah.
No. I can do Andrew Tate better than I can do Jordan, and that's sad.
And I can't access Andrew Tate. It goes against all my best instincts. I respect men, love him. Obviously, he does karate and organ trafficking.
Allegedly.
My accent is a little different, but it didn't change after I moved here. That wasn't kind of what did it. It's just I grew up super hick. I was like, all right there, mate, how's it going? You know?
And like, was that Geordie or?
My mum and my aunt are Geordie, so that played a part. But I'm from like a farmer town.
Okay.
I'm just going to nab myself a pint. You're going to see cows, all right? No worries, mate. You know that.
And I'm concerned, what color is your Bugatti?
And that, the like.
Those are the main things that I worry about.
Blending that, like losing your accent to a lot of what Andrew Tate has, flares something in my brain. It's like, don't do that. You're afraid. But the weird voice I have is because my mum was very like, as I was like going off to college and reaching adulthood, she was like, look, it's authenticity is important, but also she was a Geordie, but she spoke the Queen's. Like she was just very straight with it. And she was like, look, the world is going to treat you differently. So I kind of had a little bit more of radio voice, and then that radio voice blended with, you are my lover. And then I moved here And I started saying bodacious. And yeah. Like it started.
And now you have an actual voice for radio, because that is the top comment we have there on that assumption. You don't actually have an accent. It just helps your online presence.
That would be so funny.
That's a thing that people have come to me at parties, like sidebar, and been like, so is this like, is he putting it on? Is it like a real accent?
Just between you and me, is England? That's not is real, it?
That's
right?
Not real. That's not real.
They don't have people, Khaleesi and dragons,
I've right? genuinely had people ask me if he was pretending to be British, which I think is very funny.
You know what I think it is, to be honest with you? Sometimes on American TV, if there's an actor from the UK and they're doing their best sort of like over Benedict mm-hmm. Cumberbatch, like they'll go really strong on like the letter R at the end and make sure they say it. And then sometimes they slip into like, tell me where you put the senator. And then you're like, oh, gotcha.
So you've got you, to put inside like, the medicine.
Exactly. So for you, when I've listened to Sad Boys, I've noticed the reverse where you do have a more like pronounced, if there's like a vowel and then an R, whether that's a part of your natural accent, that's something that a lot of people associate with American dialects usually. Yeah. So you'll be like, you know, oh, we were going over there and it was strange. And I was like, that was weird. And then other people were like, yeah. So you'll say the like that part.
It's a lot
Americanized
of the,
in a way.
A lot of the like, you know, like emphasis, especially in comedy, it often is you're like, you know how somebody, when somebody does an impression of Seinfeld, they're doing an impression of an impression?
Right.
It's almost like that, where a lot of time it's like, that's weird. We're doing Redditor impression. Like, methinks that's
I can
weird.
Do Tom Scott, though. You're probably wondering how I ended up on this helicopter.
Tom!
I love Tom Scott.
So number three, like Smosh, one assumption is that there would be a hot one and a funny one. Mm.
Hot one and funny one.
You can only choose one. It's like a stat loadout.
All right.
Or maybe there's not. Like, this is just an assumption that people would have. Or, like, do you feel this way about your own group?
My honest answer is that Jordan's the hot and funny one, and I'm there as well. No, I'm just kidding. But
we operate on you know, and vice versa. That's my position with you. But I feel like we're so close outside of the show and have known each other so much more that it's almost like a, like, brand association stuff like that is like very foreign.
I agree. Yeah. We don't, because it's like we don't spend very much time thinking about the perception of us outside of our own personal relationship, which I think helps the show. Mm-hmm. And I feel very lucky that we kind of had other stuff going on and were able to like build the show back up, because we started the show at the same time I started my YouTube channel, like back in like 2017 or whatever. It was just kind of like a low hum in the background. Mm-hmm. And I think that we were able to, and we had normal lives on top of that. So thankfully that hasn't gotten too far away from us, I like to think.
So that actually brings us to our next assumption, that podcasts are more financially stable than YouTube.
Sad Boys is very rhythmic, I will say. There's such a regularity to Sad Boys that it's almost not comparable to like any other, like any work we would put out that's little sporadic even, like a consistent Friday upload with a Patreon upload, patreon.com/sadboys with a Z. Don't be sad.
One funny thing about the show that keeps it more regimented than, let's say, my own YouTube videos is because we like want to keep Jordan in the country and having a consistent job, and his visa does require that we do the show.
That's wild. So it's a very like low pressure situation for your podcast to have.
Yeah, sorry, man. It feels good for me to know that at times. I don't know. Like the visa stuff, it's always there and it's always stressful, but at a certain point, it's tinnitus, you know? You get on with things, but it's there. And the regularity of Sad Boys regulates my anxiety about it, but it is very real that the show is keeping me here, you know, not just financially, but, you know, literally. When I walk through TSA, they read my paperwork and I can see them pause as they get to like, Sad Boys LLC? Excuse me?
I'm real good at being sad. You guys have to watch this.
I'm like, it's like radio.
Why are you sad? You look so happy.
You look so happy to be here with me, TSA.
And that's what we talk about. Actually, this is not one of the assumptions. This is my own question for you. I don't know if you guys have ever watched the news. Have you considered maybe relocating the show to the UK and hiring Jarvis and maybe another person in the
room? No, I mean, I like your work, man. I don't think you're quite at the level that I would be willing to.
I'm a big Keir Starmer head. Whatever his f***ing last name is.
I want to meet Boris Johnson, dude.
I've been watching a lot of Severance, so I'm really big on Keir right now.
I don't think we would survive. It's so great, dude.
Something that we were naturally getting into before this conversation started, but we were like, save it for the show. Jarvis, be honest. You would rather be playing Magic the Gathering right now.
It's worse than that.
Well, Yeah, I mean, right now I'm playing a lot of RuneScape. I'm playing a lot of Blatro. And I'm playing Magic the Gathering.
You're just on a dopamine train that never stops.
Mm-hmm. And no more work for me. We're canceling the show after this to make more room for my Iron Man.
Wait. What did you say about the show?
We'll get to it later.
So on sort of that topic of getting into personal things, you know that sharing personal things about other creators would get you views, but that you are conflicted about sharing them.
Yeah. On rare occasion, we'll end the show, and then later in that day, I'll message Jacob, our engineer, or something, and just say, like, can we take this out? Not because it's, like, controversial or unkind in some way, but it's someone else's business.
Yeah.
And I don't have it. It's something so innocuous. It's like, well, I was hanging out with this person, and they told me this story. That almost, it's like stolen valor.
Yeah.
I've taken their story and undeniably used it for work. I've utilized somebody else's experience, and that just on a basic lizard brain level just feels iffy. And so I want to...
I'm not conflicted because it just feels like I don't want to... I want to avoid drama because it's just like, I don't think it's... It's fun, but I try to keep the fun in like a fun without baggage place. And drama is like, maybe it's fun in the moment, but it's like the high fructose corn syrup of content.
Wow.
You know, where it's like, okay, this is very satisfying right now, but immediately after I'm like facing the consequences of my actions.
This was always the dream, but then Jarvis blew up and ruined the whole thing.
Dude, you ruined the whole thing.
I ruined the whole thing.
I wanted for the two of us to go on assumptions, and now we can't.
And now we can't do it because I ruined the whole thing.
I do like that. That's a fun
one. That's a fun one. I did ruin the whole thing.
So y'all knew each other a long time before this.
The terminology is interesting. We don't really think of ourselves as a duo because we as a friendship exist outside of that.
Yeah,
and every
now
and then someone will remind me that there's a version of us that's like Jarvis and Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like such fond memories of you popping off. And then like there was a day I got you a happy 1 year old or something.
I had this like weekend where I went from like 50,000 subscribers to 200,000 subscribers. And Jordan got me a card that was for your 100th birthday. And so it said like, happy 100th birthday, except for birthday was crossed out and it said subscribers. And then he put K next to it. But then since he had made the card, I had 200,000 subscribers. So he crossed out the one and put two.
Oh my God.
It was very cute.
That's like a very fun memory. I mean, because I remember thinking, like, you know, candidly, I was like, wow, I'm so jealous. I need to make sure I don't make it envy.
Mm.
Or like resentment in some abstract way because, I mean, with any of our friends that, you know, are successful in anything, but especially in like things I would want to attain, there is a little part of me there where I have to like actively hit the brakes and say like, well, I win nothing from envy, but I get a lot of motivation and fun out of supporting friends and being jazzed up about that thing.
I think the one thing I'll give myself credit for is like, never losing sight of the show is something that was like important to us.
Yeah.
Because it did start around the same time. And like, I always thought so highly of Jordan. Like, I thought he was like one of the funniest people I knew. And like, I thought he was really, you know, he'll shit on himself plenty, but
he'll figure out the toilet one day, bud.
That's scary. I'll follow him.
Yeah. Don't talk to him about flushable wipes. I think I always just creatively loved collaborating with Jordan and always wanted to do it. And my own YouTube, it was like this separate journey that I was on, but I was still very invested in the sort of journey that we were going on together. And so there's definitely many years of, for context, like Jordan had to leave a country in 2019. There was this myth of Jordan for a time with me and my management where I was like, we're going to do this podcast. Jordan's not here right now. I promise you it's going to be a thing. And it was like for years, it would be like, I would get asked about it in meetings and I would kind of just like fend them off. It'd be like, let's not put a timeline on this. It's going to happen. So it's been very cathartic to like finally be seeing that vision to fruition because I think we shared so much of our creative journey in this dream together that it doesn't feel like an individual accomplishment to me.
And like, you know, candidly, Jarvis like saved my life. Doing that. I can't talk about it too much because I'll cry. But it is like a very specifically like Jarvis helping me get to the position I'm in now and doing this show emotionally and literally saved my life. And, you know, at the time, let me support my family. And now it's like, you know, it's tiny things. Like I get to take my dog on walks because Sad Boys exists. I get to play magic with my girlfriend because Sad Boys exists. I get to do this show because Sad Boys exists. And that's like,
I get to play magic with his girlfriend because Sad Boys exists.
Well, so that's beautiful.
It's all,
you guys,
that's what we all do it for.
I thought you guys were on a business trip.
Business.
Getting down to it.
This next one is a big one from one of our comments here in the audience. Someone commented, I relate to their experience being half black, half white. I assume they've had very different experiences growing up half black, half white in different parts of the world.
True.
Yeah, bang on.
Well, there you go. That right there, the yeah, terminology.
I mean, the short of bang it on. Is like, I, you know, your like kind of not wanting to sound country sounding like radio thing is very much like me growing up in Florida in a predominantly black neighborhood, not really having any white friends till I was like 12 and then still sounding like this. So I was told I talked white my entire adolescence, which was actually the prototype name for Sad Boys, was Talking White. But anyway, mm-hmm. like my own experience with blackness and like having a black family and a white dad who I don't know, who I only confirmed was white through like DNA testing, mm-hmm. like later on in life. There's all of this kind of implicit kind of colorism that's projected onto you as a child. And now I can recognize that there's like a lot of privilege as well associated with that. But when I was younger, it was like, you know, getting called like names and things like that. But then I think for me, it's like I had this kind of journey with blackness in my like adolescence and going into college in Atlanta, which is a predominantly black city. Shout out. And then like and I felt like I very much like came into my own and my own like racial identity and feeling like I did belong. And that was really cool because it was truly just the combination of having a bunch of black nerds around, but de facto going to like a tech school and then supplanting that with Silicon Valley and moving to that where it was like, okay, where did everybody go? And then having to refine that identity because they got rid of all the woke and the DEI. So there were no black people around. But then
they didn't have the gender button yet.
They kept whacking. And so I think that like now I feel like a lot more in tune with that. But it is, I think a lot of people like resonate with that because there is this... you know, it's like I have the sort of the other end of colorism. There's a lot of privilege with having like fairer skin. But then there's also like me getting, you know, followed around in stores because people think I'm like going to steal from them if I'm wearing like a tall tee and mm-hmm. like a chain, which I did wear when I was in sixth grade.
Or better case scenario is getting followed around because they want to ask you something because they assume you work there.
Oh, that too.
That's the other.
But yeah, so that's my little spiel.
We do have a weird parallel in that like you grew up in predominantly black area. With lighter skin, having your blackness reduced and questioned. And then I grew up in a predominantly white area, having my whiteness lowered and questioned. Mm-hmm. Where like, you know, proportionally to the people I was growing up around, they were like, wow, that's crazy. How did you do that? Like, what are you going to do? Like literally, not even, before I even like had my growth spurt or whatever, just like all the coaches and stuff being like, basketball.
Wow.
We play basketball. And I'm like, we don't have that. We don't have any money at this school. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Like, well, we could start basketball and you could be the only player.
You're our Michael Jordan. Yeah. Your name's Jordan. I have the best
so
idea.
So close. But I same situation where my dad wasn't around, but my dad was black, my mom was white. And it was like, okay, where's my validity? Because I don't, not only am I not living in a predominantly black space or even like moderately diverse space, I'm also, my mom is being very proactive and trying to make sure that I have a relationship with my culture despite not having any of the culture around me. Ultimately, the comfort I wanted was to nobody mention it either way. Mm. And then after moving here, being in that space and everything being very focused on healthy or at least presented as a very healthy relationship with diversity and having space in an office that respects that, it was kind of like a silent acknowledgement in a way that it hadn't been before. I was so sick of like, your hair is wonderful.
Oh my God, can I touch it? It's like a sheep.
I'm like, what I would like is nothing. I think now I'm having to do a little bit of work to regain some pride around it as opposed to like, hey, just don't bring it up, you know?
Jarvis, next assumption, you forgot the password to the main channel.
Dude, no, it has to do with mental health, actually, so on theme. I gotta figure some stuff out. Basically, I just was, you know, perfection is the enemy of good, and thinking about, like, getting into these, like, anxious thought cycles of, like, oh, is this something that, like, I want to put this, like, all this work into, and then putting some hours into an idea, and then, like, getting cold feet, and, like, I had that cycle happen a few times, and I know that the answer is just get back on the horse and, like, don't worry about it so much, but I just haven't actually done that. But it's my goal for this year to actually upload on the main channel.
Do you want to prove that you know the password by saying it out loud?
I'll leave that as an exercise to the reader. I've planted Easter eggs in this
just tell us how many digits.
Episode.
Let's just say it's Jordan Adika 15.
Yeah, it's all digits, so you can crack it pretty quickly with a computer, so.
YouTubers are not funny off camera.
I think some YouTubers are not funny off camera, and that's not a bad thing.
We can list them out.
Well, there's Jordan.
Oh. Different one.
Adika.
Okay, and the
those are two different guys. Yeah, and then there's Jordan Adika as well. Yeah, sorry. No, I think that there are some very, very brilliant writers who, like, don't like to be jokey outside of their work, and I think that's perfectly valid. I think a lot of our friends are pretty jokey. Like, sometimes I'll get, like, a text from, you know, you or, like, Drew or somebody that, like, makes me want to cry laughing. And I'm like, damn, this should be content, but I'm like, wow, I have my own special special show right here.
Yeah.
Most of the funniest people we know make the most, like, concise, scripted, long-form content with very sporadic releases. And then, like, Danny is so incredibly funny.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But he's a sniper. Yeah. And then Eddie is so incredibly funny, and he's, like, exactly the same as he is on the podcast. Yeah, it is just, like, he's just very affable and just very quick.
And our final assumption, you wish that you could be secretly alpha males.
Oh, right. Yep. That's the end of the show. I don't know. I mean, we mentioned it before, but I'm never going to be free of any gender conditioning, right? It's always going to be appealing to be like, I'm actually the toughest in the room, or I'm the most confident in the room, or like,
I know the most karate in the room.
The most karate, the most chops.
Sorry, fellas. I believe I know the most karate in the room.
Yeah, well, first of all, I've watched all the John Wicks on a plane.
Well, then never mind.
Well, I didn't watch all the fourth one.
Is
but
that, like, harder to do? Is that, like, a thing to be celebrated?
I was flying it.
I watched them on a plane.
It was simultaneously.
A lot of turbulence, and for me, it was completely stable.
I don't know that I'm jealous of alpha male people. I guess I'm jealous in that it sounds like all of their problems are very easily solved. It's like, wow, you have such a simple answer for all of your problems. Women, it's their fault. And money, you're not grinding hard enough. And happiness, feelings, just don't feel them.
Yeah. And they're a zero-sum game, so the more that somebody is feeling them, the more of a loser they are, and the more they don't deserve anything out of the meritocracy, which does exist. Do dropshipping, steal an organ, whatever they do. I should clarify, my answer is no. I don't want to be an alpha male. It's cringe.
And there you have it. We don't all actually want to be alpha males, because we know that the true top tier is sigma males. This leads us to our next area. We're going to do a quick little tier list where you're going to be ranking alpha males, sort of like S being top tier sigma male, then A being alpha, B being beta, F for, like, omega, I guess. Many of them will be podcasters, so this is a standard tier list. We're just going to sort of rapid fire it, maybe a little bit.
So this is, like, how we make enemies. You guys were like, oh, you guys, like, don't have enough enemies, so we were thinking you could rank them.
I think some of them are going to be pretty easily already there. So first up, fresh and fit.
I mean, we're ranking them on legitimacy of their alpha status.
Oh, that's a good question, because, like, in the how loud are you? It's like they're like S tier, but it's like, do I actually think, now that we've, like, the truth has kind of slowly been coming out about them, I would think it's like a C to D tier.
If I put myself in the mindset of somebody that, like, as far as checking off the generic list of alpha male traits, if I just go through their work, look, C's get degrees, they're not there. It is like, they're missing, they're too insecure outwardly.
Yeah.
To be an alpha male, you feel terrible all the time and you doubt yourself, but you have to mask it by wearing sunglasses indoors.
Yeah. I don't know who these people are.
Oh, that's what a dream to be you.
Next one I do know, Matt Rife.
I wouldn't put him in the fresh and fit tier. I mean, I would give him a B.
Yeah, I think there's enough there's those little glints of insecurity when he just like will get too upset about something online.
He like beats with a child on Twitter. Like that was, he lost ranks for that.
The man threw away his entire career because he wasn't seen as manly enough by other men. So, you know, that's the type of dude that'll beef with a child.
I'll chuck him in a B.
We got Alex Jones.
Oh, that's an interesting, because I don't even know if he sees himself as an alpha male.
Which is probably the most alpha thing to do, quite frankly.
Well, he is pretty mad at frogs for being turned gay, is the
That's
name?
True. Well, disprove it, liberals.
I mean, just for the sake of the Sandy Hook families, I'm going to give him an F.
I mean, that's the thing, is like, he's just...
Like, that is a thing that you cannot come back from. There's no amount of, like, meme that you can do from that shit.
He also made the fatal mistake of saying, for any alpha male presentation, of saying it's a character.
Oh, when he's like a lawyer, yeah.
Psych. As soon as you do that.
I'm a performer, like, hello? I don't believe the words.
And you lose, you get, yeah, F.
Joe Rogan.
I just like that you can tell him pretty much anything and he'll go, wow.
Jamie, look that up.
Yeah, and then he gets mad at Jamie if Jamie says something that he doesn't like.
I mean, I think if there's an A, it's Joe Rogan.
I was going to say the same. Unfortunately.
There is also an S above.
I wouldn't give him an S. Signal.
I mean, I think maybe what he's missing in terms of S is just like, brother, you can't be podcasting that much. Yeah. It's not very, and we have one, not that alpha to do the podcast, and he's doing it like 17 times
a day. So you guys brought it down.
If you're doing the same job as us, that brings you down from an S automatically.
Yeah.
We're taking this as a unit. Anthony Padilla and Ian Hecox.
Oh, those are sigmas. Actually, to the T.
Yeah. So, sigmas.
I think
or
so.
Stigmas, if that's to the T.
Those are stigma males. Yeah. We don't, I would actually give them an earnest sigma because they've seen the full arc of the internet.
And also, I don't know like how, I know they are tactful with how much of themselves they now present online, partially because they've done that. You know, whenever I hang out with either of them.
Sweetest people.
But also like this like eminent confidence, like a quiet, legitimate, like aspirational confidence.
Yeah.
I saw Ian at whatever that like drinks thing we went to a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And I was just chatting with him, just like, oh, I'm like basking.
Mm-hmm.
He's just there and he's himself and so comfortable with it.
And Anthony's like taking up a new high. He's like, I'm into painting now. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like got a sparkle in his eye. And I'm like, good for you, man. Yeah.
Next up, Brian Johnson.
Ooh.
Remind me?
The infinite life man.
Oh, my son's plasma and his balls and his penis guy?
I think I give the photo of him, his son, and his dad, like, shirtless after they did their plasma transfer an S. Just that photo alone. Okay. I don't know my dad, but if he were to tweet about my erection health and also comparing his erections to mine... Leave me alone. I'm in college, dude. I'm trying to like meet new friends. And now people know how long my night erections last.
Yeah, stats.
I don't want those stats to be, but I didn't sign up to be open source. You know what I mean?
It's the ultimate like dating profile there where you're like, here are my charts.
Yeah.
What could that possibly achieve? Like, what about his mission to never die? Has to bundle in morning wood.
Sad too, because he's like using his son as like a baseline of youth. And it's like really like his son doesn't have to be there. It's so that he can say that he has young erections. And if you watch the documentary, you learn some disgusting facts that you just don't want to know.
Squidward.
Oh my God. Dude, Squidward's so sad. I feel like he should be on the podcast.
Yeah, Squidward, I feel like he should host it. Not really a voice for radio, I will say that.
So I'm partial to Squidward because I too played the clarinet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, F.
Okay.
F then.
No, I won't fight it.
Wow.
Yeah, lack of confidence and worst thing you can do as an alpha male or really anyone is allow your burdensome lack of confidence to affect the people around you and to act less than kind.
It's kind of a stigma male, really.
He also sucks at the clarinet, dude. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
He's been practicing for how long?
But also, that means he just keeps grinding. I will say what I do relate to him most on is not the clarinet, but I will often wear a brown polo, no pants.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah.
You gotta stop.
The Costco guys.
Hey.
BJ and AJ get B's for me. Rizzler gets S+.
Yeah. Is that kid the Rizzler, the Costco kid?
He's like not a part of their family, but he's a part of the Costco guys.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
But he's not. I just very briefly, the moment he's not a kid. He's like a little.
That's a lie that he tells to people, and I can't let it stand.
You're thinking of Andy Milonakis.
Yeah. He's actually a child, and his favorite superhero is Black Panther, and it's the best thing about it.
The Bucky's mascot.
I just learned what Bucky's was.
What is it?
So Bucky's is like, it's like a gas station and was a Walmart.
What's the guy?
Yes, exactly.
It's the beaver that has like the red has like.
Dude. I'm going to give a respectful A to Bucky's because I wasn't familiar with your game. And I'm now learning that Bucky's has shooters and I don't want any of the smoke.
I didn't know where we were.
No, because that's the thing I learned. Like I told someone I didn't know what Bucky's was after I mistyped something and I accidentally typed Bucky's. And they were like, you don't know Bucky's? And I was like,
the extremely
sorry.
Regional
sorry.
Chain of
yeah.
things.
Yeah. My apologies.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, sorry, wrong hand. I know that sounds bad.
Freddy Fazbear.
God, he's fast.
I would give S out of respect for our intern, who's known as the intern, who is a real person with a name. They're anonymous in the context of our show, so we'll refer to them as the intern.
Okay.
But they are a huge fan, and I am afraid of the rules, and there's that.
Well,
pretty sexy bird one, though.
Yeah, well, I hear you. I will say that you didn't leave room for Golden Freddy by giving Freddy an S, but I guess we'll just take
well,
it.
Well, there's S plus,
Freddy.
So Golden Freddy can go up there with the Rizzler.
Got it. S, perfect. And then finally, BB No Money.
Oh, baby. You want to say baby, because...
Sorry, BB Nos. Nos.
I think, yeah.
Baby dollar sign.
BB no Nos.
Yeah, Baby No Money. I feel like that man is on his grind.
Impossible Confidence of Smosh.
Impossible Confidence, similar vibe. So nice.
I think he
doesn't need to be that nice.
So we
might
be nice.
In the building.
Thank you both so much for being here. This was awesome getting to know you better. And,
our pleasure.
How nice. Do y'all feel?
I feel imposter syndrome being on this.
Right. Yeah, that's true. This is it's challenging it. It's challenging myself.
Hey, but
now.
You know what? We show up and we say, let's do it. Grind set.
Grind set. And that's the Sigma way.
It is the Sigma way. Yeah, if they cut it out of the intro, Damien said, if you don't know me, I'm Mr. Perfect Pants.
Yeah.
Please, I'm perfect all the time.
Please have Jarvis's voice over my clearly not saying that mouth. You may
and
know
also
me
I did
Mr.
a funny
perfect
voice
pants.
In a thing.
Yeah.
Anime.
I can do an impression of you.
Okay, please.
Well, I seem to call myself out on the range of voice acting. Might as well take a little stab at doing Cloud's voice, see? Well, my name's Cloud. And
I got myself this big old sword.
You know what's crazy is I'm from Georgia. And I never had an accent, but that's crazy. It was close.
It was perfect.
Yeah, I know. I was impressed.